The gospel this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll skip on to chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you may do so on page 52 and 57 of your New Testament. Something I'll just let you all be aware of is that the youth has started this week and will continue doing this, reading the Scripture before we come into worship so that we have an idea of the Scripture. And I'll just let you know what we talked about really quickly. First, Luke 1, 1 through 4 is what opens the Gospel of Luke and is a long sentence to help gain our trust of the whole Gospel. And the second reading, 4, 14 through 21, is the first time that we see in this gospel Jesus going out and doing social work or social in his social ministry. And we don't go far enough in, but after this particular part, there is a wee bit of violence that breaks out. But the part that I forgot to tell the youth, and I hope you're listening up there because this is the part I forgot to tell you, is that this particular text, verses 18 and 19, borrows from Isaiah 58:6 and Isaiah 61:1-2, in Jesus describing what he is supposed to do as Isaiah prophesies the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. So hear now these words. Since many have undertaken to set down in orderly accounts of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise you to Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, William. Well, here we are. Just a few short weeks past the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we have come to the defining moment of his life thus far. Today, in this passage from Luke that William just explained and read, we hear about the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, where he steps out and starts preaching. And as you have just heard, Jesus started out with a bang. If you back up just a bit in the Gospel of Luke, you can understand the context for today's reading. Jesus had gone to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist, a passage that we read through Advent and now again these past few weeks. And there, by the banks of the Jordan, in front of the crowds of people, Jesus was baptized, and then he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. You probably remember, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Right after leaving the Jordan River, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days wandering about, thinking deep thoughts, praying, and being tempted by the devil. Well, he passed these several tests, and then we move right into this passage, where he truly begins his adult public ministry. Today, I want to talk with you about what Jesus said there. And then next week, we'll consider how his message was accepted by the people who first heard it. But think about today's passage. Right out of the wilderness, Jesus returns to Galilee. In fact, he goes home to Nazareth, where he grew up. Then, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And there, he was asked to read from Scripture, and as destiny and the Holy Spirit would have it, he was asked to read from the prophet Isaiah. And you heard the passage that he read. But then comes the shocker. He sits down with everybody looking directly at him, and Jesus says, "Today this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, as our Jewish brothers and sisters might say, that really took chutzpah. It took guts to say what he said. Jesus doesn't say it in a bragging way. He doesn't even say it directly like, "You know this prophet from the Hebrew Bible, this Isaiah? Well, he was talking about me." Nope. Jesus doesn't say it like that. He says it more as an expression of fact, almost a foregone conclusion. "Today, this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." But throughout the crowd in the synagogue, there is not one bit of doubt. Jesus is claiming to be the one from God who was called to bring about good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is claiming in no uncertain terms that he is the embodied fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Well, when you consider that the Jewish people had been waiting literally hundreds of years for this event to occur, you can understand what an amazing claim that truly was. And this morning, I want you to consider the confidence with which Jesus made that claim. And I want you to think about the confidence with which you live your own life. Jesus understood completely what he was saying. He did not make this claim idly or without absolute confidence in its truth. My guess is that after studying the Hebrew Scripture his whole life, some 30 plus years up to this point, he understood fully what Isaiah had prophesied. The experience at the Jordan River was his anointing, the confirmation by God that Jesus was ready to go. And then, as his thoughts were gelling and coming together, he probably used that greatest portion of that 40-day trek through the wilderness to finalize his plans for his public ministry. And it was no accident that he returned to Nazareth, small town, hometown Nazareth, to start up his missionary work. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was confident and self-assured, speaking boldly in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Certainly he had doubts and worries, all people do. But he kept these in perspective. He never lost sight of the goal of fulfilling prophecy, calling people to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand and is at hand today. And that brings me to a personal question for you. Do you have this kind of confidence as you go about your daily life? Do you know your purpose and the path you should take to fulfill your destiny? Do you have that kind of chutzpah that Jesus had? The knowledge that you are doing exactly what God has intended for you to do? I think about you young people in middle school and high school facing questions about life that most of the older members of our congregation never faced at your age. Questions about relationships and drugs and alcohol and gangs and fitting in and sex and school and your parents' expectations and what you're going to do with your life and even about whether or not God is real. I think about some of you young people who are just starting out together in marriage, just beginning to make families on your own, facing questions that are new to you. Questions about living together and family expectations and the prospect of bringing a new life into this world and paying for a child's education and losing your independence and getting older, and even about whether Jesus Christ is truly living in your heart. I think about you mature people who are looking back at your grown children, facing questions that seem to have come too quickly. Questions about growing old together or alone, and your own mortality, and how well you raised your children, and the challenges of a fixed retirement income, and the prospect of having to be cared for by someone else, and even about whether believing in Jesus Christ will make a difference in the long run anyway. And that brings me back to these same questions. Do you have this kind of confidence as you go about your daily life? Do you know your purpose and the path you should take to fulfill your destiny? Do you have the kind of chutzpah that Jesus had, the knowledge that you are doing exactly what God has intended for you to do? I don't presume to know the questions that you're facing, but I hope you'll consider this. God knows what you're facing. God loves you, and we will be there with you, right with you, always. And because Jesus has that confidence, you don't have to. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, you can relax. Trust in God. Follow Jesus Christ. Accept the strength of the Holy Spirit. Share God's love at every opportunity. And work for the fulfillment of God's kingdom here on earth, because the rest is in God's hands. Amen.